Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Are You Fortifying Yourself Daily by Prayer?
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So last week, we talked about fortifying ourselves for our journey to God by the Word. Today, I'd like to talk to you about fortifying yourselves daily for your journey to God by prayer. Do you guys fortify yourselves daily for your journey to God by prayer? Do you go after it directly, decisively, diligently, to pray to God and give Him all the glory and praise, to say, I trust you, to tell Him about the good and the bad in your life, and to ask Him for help? That's what we're called to do as Christians. But a lot of times, of course, we're not so good at that, right? Remember last week we said we're not always in the Word as we should, because sometimes we're distracted by the phone we talked about last week. It takes over. It's a time killer and a soul killer. So we want to be in the Word, fortify ourselves in that. But the phone also gets in our way when it comes to prayer, because we want to be after time with the Lord, calling upon Him for help, leaning upon Him in every need, calling upon Him in every distress and trouble for deliverance, rather than, again, going after YouTube, Facebook, and the like. So let's talk today about fortifying yourselves for your journey to God through this world, through the troubles of this world, to God by prayer. What the Holy Spirit would say to us today to encourage us in our prayers to God for strength. What can we say about that? Well, I'd like to look with you at an Old Testament event. Exodus chapter 17, Israel and their battle against Amalek. In Exodus 17, the battle of Rephidim in the Old Testament. Because the Holy Spirit there, I think, speaks so super clearly to us about the power of prayer for your encouragement and the call to it for victory. So let's take a look then at Exodus 17 today, Israel's battle against Amalek, and what happened there and what it teaches us about prayer. First of all, let me give you the context. Exodus 17 is right after, Exodus 16 and 15 and 14. What happened there? Israel is just freshly delivered by God through the hand of Moses with a great and mighty outstretched hand through the Red Sea. They're delivered from their ancient enemy, Pharaoh, that evil man, and they're brought through the Red Sea out into the wilderness. But even before they get hardly a few steps into the wilderness, on the way to Mount Sinai, which is really their first stop, out comes Amalek with raiding parties to war against Israel. Let's read that in verse 8. We read in Exodus 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Okay, so who is Amalek? Okay, Amalek is just a short name for the Amalekites. They're descendants of Amalek. Who is Amalek? Amalek was the grandson of Esau. So who are the Amalekites? They're actually really distant relatives, kinsfolk of Israel, because Israel goes back to Jacob, and the Amalekites goes back to Esau, so they're ultimately near kin in a sense, but they are an ancient foe, an old adversary. Why do I call them an old adversary? Israel itself at the time had never fought against this warring party of the Amalekites. Why do I call them an ancient foe? Well, because their ancestors, Jacob and Esau, were warring against each other even from the womb. Remember, they were twins, and they were struggled together inside the womb of their mother. And when they came out, they warred against each other. Remember, at one point, Esau was so angry at Jacob, he wanted to hunt him down and kill him. Jacob had to flee away. So that's why we call them an ancient foe. They're the grandson of Amalek, and the descendants of Amalek now warring, come out to fight against Israel. And actually, in the ancient Amarna tablets, extra-biblical ancient source, it shows that the Amalekites were a warring tribe, nomads of the desert, that would actually come out and raid and seek to plunder anybody that passed by their territory. So here they're coming out, though, against Israel. Let's read the story, and we'll comment what the Holy Spirit teaches us for encouragement. Okay, verse 8. Then Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. But whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat upon it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua mowed down Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. A great story. So short, so powerful, so precise about what the Holy Spirit would teach us, I believe, regarding prayer and its power and our call to it. So what do we learn by this story? Y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, you're awake. You're doing great today. The first thing I see in this story, I would take from it by the Holy Spirit, is life is full of battles. You know, think about this. Israel just came out from defeating, or God defeating for them, their ancient enemy, Pharaoh. Evil guy. For 400 years. And God took care of him in the Red Sea, and they're freshly out of there. After all this pain, they've got victory, and you'd think they'd be scot-free for a while, wouldn't you? Like, hey, give the guys a break. They've just had 400 years. They just got over their last huge enemy. But they don't even get a break. The next step they take into the wilderness, here comes the next battle. Amalek and his raiding parties. Don't you think life is kind of like that? Do you find that? I find that. You know, as soon as one battle, you know, you have this huge battle in your life, and finally, after much struggle, you get over it, God gives you the victory, and you think you're going to get a break, and it's going to be like you're scot-free for a while, and all of a sudden, boom, here comes the next enemy you have to fight. I believe the Holy Spirit is teaching us in this that the Christian life in this world really is war. I mean, you're fighting back. You do have great blessings of the Lord, and you do have times of break. God loves to give you that. Times of rest and ease for a little while. Remember in Pilgrim's Progress, they had one little tiny sentence that says, then they came to a field called ease, but they were quickly gotten over it and went on their way. For us, it's like, man, I just got done with this guy, now I got this one to handle. That's the way it is a lot of times in life, and I believe the Holy Spirit's teaching us that by this. Their next step was to fight yet again. So we are called, friends, to be warriors, though, and to fight. Remember, just as surely as Jesus says, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Just as surely as we have good cheer in Jesus Christ, just as surely we will have tribulation. So life is full of battles. Second thing I get from this is that if life is a battle and we're going to have to face troubles, what's the Holy Spirit teach us we need to do to win the day, to win the battle? The first thing we read here, let me read it again. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out, fight with Amalek." You know what that was? Last week's sermon, right? You must, in your life's battles, by the Holy Spirit, step forth onto the field in the valley and take on the enemy, whatever you're facing that is, and standing in your way in your journey, to stand against it and to conquer it. So the first thing we talked about last week, we've got to take the sword, right? It's been at least three sermons since I've used this. So. But you've got to be a Joshua, God says. All last week, you've got to use the sword, fight with it, win with it, conquer on the field of battle by the word of God and the word of God alone. Hence, we need to be in this and not in our phone, which would distract us, but in the word and conquer by the word. You've got to be a Joshua. Fight in the valley with the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6, which is the word of God. Do you do that? Have you done that this week?
Yes.
Great. All right. You've got to do it. You've got to take the bull by the horns, friends. We are called to be warriors. And I know we'd like to all rest, and we are people of rest when we get to heaven, and we are people of peace. But we are also called to take up arms, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, etc., to fight against whatever comes against us in our way, and to go forward and to win going forward in Christ by the word. So that's the next point. But then the next thing I get out of this passage, Exodus 17, is this. The Holy Spirit teaches me and you that though the battle is fought in the valley by Joshua, and he must go and fight with Amalek, go and fight with the Amalekites, says Moses to Joshua. Though he fights in the valley with the word, with the sword of the Spirit for us, yet the battle's end and result is not determined by Joshua on the field, but is determined by the man who went up on the hill, Moses, with the rod of God in his hand. For we read here again, let's read that again. You go and fight with Amalek, Moses told Joshua. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whatever Moses held up his hand, I'll put both up if I could, Israel prevailed. That's in the valley. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. So notice, where is the battle won? You have to take up, look, you have to take the word, as we said last week, and conquer by the word of God alone. But the battle's result is determined not ultimately in the valley by the word, by the sword. It's determined by getting up on the hill, lifting my hands to God in prayer, and with authority, the rod of God in your hand. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that the case in all of history, by the way? Think about this. Whoever holds the high ground militarily in all of history is the winner, usually. Ancient times, where do you build your castle? On the top of the mount, the hill, the mountain. If you hold that high ground, you win in the valley. In Napoleon's day, do you know that Britain and England, they had hot air balloons. Whoever gets to the highest place and sends out signals where the enemy armies are moving, they could see by the balloons, then they win because they hold the high ground. How about in Europe? The Battle of Britain. Anybody remember that battle? Then you're a little old, but you might. But the Battle of Britain was fought in the air, not on the ground. It was for who has the control of the skies over England will continue to rule England. Is it going to be the German Luftwaffe and the Messerschmitts, or is it going to be the British Spitfires and the Hurricanes? The battle was fought in the high place, on the high ground. Whoever held that place was the one who won on the ground. Does that make sense? What is the Holy Spirit teaching us today? He's saying you've got to take the sword and fight in the valley with the word of God. You must be among Joshua. But you've also got to be a Moses on the hill, raising your hands to God in prayer. For when Moses' hands are up, the battle goes his way and moves forward for Joshua on the ground. But whenever Moses' hands dropped because he was tired, then Amalek prevailed on the ground. So you've got to be both a Joshua and a Moses. Are you being both a Joshua and a Moses in your life? Are you taking the sword down here and also the rod up here to pray? Because it's what happens in the heavenly skies over the battlefield that determines what goes down on the battlefield, who wins down here. So you gotta take up both the sword and the rod of God. Prayer, friends, is the higher ground. It is the greater power. So when you go into your battles, whatever they may be, of every stripe and kind and color in this life, if you want to go forward and move forward and to win the day ultimately in victory, cover the skies with God's air force through prayer. Call in his angels. Cover the battlefield, because if prayer goes up, then you're going to get forward progress down on the ground. But if you don't go up in prayer, then you will not succeed in the valley. Because even Joshua, as great as he was still pushed back when Moses lowered his hands. But up, that's victory, friends. So go to God in prayer. Are you going to do that? Are you inspired so far?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
How powerful is prayer? Well, let's look. James, what does he say? You can probably quote it. The prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effects. Mark chapter 11, Jesus says, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. That's confidence. Power, actually. Matthew 7, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Again, Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me, God says. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. I'll send in the Air Force, my angels, my Holy Spirit, covering the field, the skies, that you may win on the grounds. Think about the Bible. What's been accomplished by prayer? Come on, I mean, the Word of God generally, I mean, as great as it is, look, it's prayer. Elijah prayed and for 3 years shut up the skies so that it didn't rain on the earth for 3.5 years. That's pretty good. Do you know that you can control the weather? How about Hannah? She couldn't even conceive a child. But when she prayed, God opened her womb, gave power to conceive, and she brought forth Samuel. David, remember that avenging angel was coming to slay all in Jerusalem? And David quickly went up on the mountain outside of Jerusalem, offered a sacrifice to God, and the angel of death sheathed his sword and did not slay the city through prayer. Think about it. The church, remember when Peter was about to be brought up the next day, to be killed, Peter, the church was praying fervently, and then an angel was sent, brought Peter out of prison, and he knocks on the door and he says, "Hi, it's me, it's Peter." And they're like, "No, you can't be out because we're praying for you. You're in prison." No, it's me. Power in prayer. Mountains are moved by prayer. And we've got Matthew here again today. And Kim, we've been at our house, using some of our rooms. And he and his wife, they're missionaries to Cambodia, okay? And they have two sons. And they were telling us the story one night at dinner that their second son, was born a little bit early, he was supposed to be born in Florida, was born in Arizona. I think it was Arizona, right? New Mexico. And he was born actually with his intestines severed. Usually even if there's one, that's pretty deadly and very sketchy. But he had it severed in four places. And they quickly did a surgery on him, put him back together. He wasn't supposed to be able to digest any food. And he came out of it, not only healed, not only restored, didn't even need he could breathe on his own, I should say, but the guy eats like a horse and as big as his brother. They were praying about that, and God gave them a great deliverance. But as I said before, one battle falls hard upon another in the world, and so what happened? That was not the end of their troubles, because then the bills came in. Big bills. And they had Florida Medicaid because most missionaries don't have a lot of money, or hardly any, two pennies to scratch together. They had Florida Medicaid. Born in Arizona, $500,000 or so in bills. And they're going back to Cambodia, can't pay. So how do you do that? Well, Medicaid, Florida Medicaid, supposed to pay for those things. But they said, we don't really feel like paying. So they're between a rock and a hard place. They're driving down the highway, and they hear, Dave Ramsey, right? Christian financial counsel, did you ever hear that guy? Broadcast, and Matt says to Kim, "Well, why don't you call in and ask about our situation? What could be done to help?" So Kim's like, "I've never done that before," but they pulled over the car, she called in, and they said, "Basically, we have no answer for you, but we'll keep it in prayer." Well, nothing happened. The next day, they got a call back from Dave Ramsey and said, "Oh, we have someone who heard your broadcast. He'd like to help you out. Can we give your name to him for some help?" "Yeah, sure. Who is it?" "Well, it's Mike." "Okay." So the next day, they get a call from Mike. What is his last name, you think? No. Johnson, Speaker of the House of Representatives of the United States of America. Yes, the office of Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House of the United States, has heard the broadcast and would like to help you out. He has a few friends, by the way, Bill and Ron, that is Bill Posey and Ron DeSantis. They get a call basically saying, "Don't worry about it, this is going to be taken care of." A few days later, they get emails coming through their bills. Zero, 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 zero. Florida Medicaid changes minds. Isn't that great? A little bit of power in the high places. And why did they get it? Not only were they praying, but Matt said to his wife, I've never called. She said, why don't you ask? Just try calling. See what happens. Doesn't God say the same thing to you and me? You've been through all these troubles. There's an insurmountable wall before you. You can't. It's an impossible situation. You can't get out. Why don't you just try and ask? Get up on the hill and ask and see what happens. And God says, I'm going to come down and I'm going to deliver you from your trouble and you shall glorify me, which they're doing today. Praise God. Amen. So there's power in prayer. Okay, you got to fight as Joshua in the valley, but don't forget to be a Moses on the hill with the rod of God in your hand. What else we learned by this story for your encouragement? Well, we learn next that it's not easy. We read here the next line, but Moses' hands grew weary. Do you get tired in prayer? Oh my goodness, sometimes it's hard to be in the Word, like we said last week, but it's harder even to be in prayer. You start to pray and you fall asleep. Remember the disciples? Jesus is like, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? This is the darkest hour. You're falling asleep? Rise, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he comes back again, they're asleep. Again, that's the way it is for all of us. It's hard work to get up on the hill. You know what? Actually, it's easier to be Joshua. It's easier to be down here. Your blood's flowing. You're running around. You're fighting. You're awake. But up here, you're just standing on the hill. And it's tiring to hold up those hands, isn't it? It's very hard. So what do you have to do? You need staying power. You need to keep holding up your hands, because whenever they're up, you prevail down there. You drop them, you lose it. So the real power is in the air. You got to keep calling. It reminds me of the story. I got to share this one with you about an Navy SEAL I met on the airlines one time, sitting next to me. And he told me about his time in Afghanistan. And he and his SEAL team unit were being chased by the Taliban, and they were being pressed up against a lake. They're running away. They're calling on the radio, calling for help, calling for help. We need some air cover. We need some help here. They're not getting it. Nobody's around in the area. And they keep calling, and they keep calling. Staying power. And he said literally he had a minute left before all these huge troops and tanks were coming over the nearby hill, would catch up to them, and they'd be obliterated on the order. No chance of survival. And they kept calling, and the headquarters gets back to them. Well, we don't have any F-15s, but we do have 2 A-10 Warthog Thunderbolts in the area. They're coming your way. And he says they were back with their backs against the sea. They were up this far. He said they're shooting. The bad guys are coming. Impossible situation. And he says the A-10s roared about 200 feet over the deck, over their position. Vroom, and yeah. And the enemy's gone. Point there is, if you're not getting an answer right away, it took Moses all day. You got to keep your hands up. Keep praying. Keep going. It gets weary. Keep asking. God is going to send help. And the days of Daniel, Gabriel says, as soon as you started praying, Daniel, I was coming down from heaven, but then the demon that was in charge of Persia withstood me 21 days. But then Michael came and he delivered me so I could come and give you this message. Notice there's battles, air forces, going on in the heavenly place. If you're not seeing the answer, my point is, right away, keep praying. Get on the radio. Because the radio is more powerful than the machine gun. Amen. Not that the Word of God conquers everything, but we also need to have the radio. Keep calling in the air cover. It's coming. It's coming in time, and it's going to come just in time and give the victory. So Moses got weary. You need staying power. How did he get to persevere all the way to the end? Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat upon it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on the one side and one on the other, so his hands were steady. Until the going down to the sun. What do you need? What do you need, Cindy? I'm calling on you, Cindy. What do you need if you're needing staying power in prayer? You need?
Friends.
You need friends! Pray by yourself. God loves that. Pray alone. Jesus did. great value in that, but pray with friends. Get together with other Christians. Get together with other people here. Let them lift up your hands, that they not be weary, that you keep praying in your trouble. And if your hands then, by your friends, are steady to the going down of the sun, boom, in comes victory on the ground through Joshua and the word. So praise be to God for staying power. And we already read here, so his hands were steady to the going down of the sun, and Joshua mowed down Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. Excellent. Are we good? Are you going to be a Joshua today? Take up the sword, the word. Are you going to be a Moses as well on the hill with the rod of God in your hand? Friends, when you go up to pray, you're not going up empty-handed, okay? You're going up with a rod. What is the rod? The cross of Christ, really. Another piece of wood, which shows I am a saved child of God. I'm redeemed by Jesus Christ. I'm a prince of heaven, an heir of the world to come. A crown is promised me. I'm going up to my Father, who has called me confidently to gain access to him by Jesus and by the Spirit, by the cross, by his blood. We boldly approach the throne of grace, amen, that we may then receive grace to help in time of need. So go up with the rod, which is your identity, and Jesus has saved and the Savior. Good. One more point. You with me? One more? What's our great example of all this in the perfect, supreme depiction of it? Jesus Christ himself. Who is Jesus Christ himself? He came down from heaven to be the greater Joshua. That's his name in Hebrew, by the way. To conquer. And what did he do in his life? He conquered by the word of God alone wherever he went. But what also do we read of Jesus? That says, and when he dismissed the crowds, he withdrew and went up on the hills by himself to pray, and even continued there all night. Jesus is the perfect super Joshua and the perfect super Moses to pray on our behalf. And he had staying power all the way through the cross, to the resurrection, to victory, to make you a saved, loved, and redeemed people. Last thing then is this. After the battle was won, Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner," saying, "A hand upon the banner of the Lord." What's that mean? You will glorify me when I deliver you from your trouble. So call upon me, God says, because I am your banner. Moses says, God, you are my banner. You are my flag, my rallying point. You are my savior. You are my redeemer. You are my hero. And by you, and through faith in you, through the word of God, and by prayer on the hill, you will give me the victory. Praise be to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Are You Fortifying Yourself Daily by Prayer? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sundays, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in. And I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.